Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello again, Hoopball Lakers family, and welcome to another solo edition of the Hoopball Lakers podcast. I'm your host, JC DeLeon, for this edition. Ethan and I will be on together, presumably once the playoffs start. And playoffs, yeah, we have a lot to talk about there. Well, there's good news and there's bad news. What else is new, right? The 10 playoff teams in the West have been decided, and the good news is that the Lakers are among them. Bad news, however, is that they are not out of the woods on this play-in scenario. The Lakers' chances did improve last night on a controversial loss by the Trailblazers to the Phoenix Suns, and as it stands now, if the Lakers can win out against two easy-ish teams in Indiana and New Orleans, then Portland has to defeat Denver on Sunday, otherwise Portland will be in the play-in spot and not the Lakers. Indiana is among the playoff teams in the East fighting for playoff positioning, so they're not exactly going to roll over. And Denver is pretty solidified in their number four spot. They're not going to drop to number five, and they've had some injuries, so it might not be worth trying to get up to the number three spot, and so they might not have much of an interest in winning on Sunday, which isn't great for the Lakers. Long story short, the Lakers need to embrace the possibility, even the likelihood at this point, that they might have to play in this play-in game, which they seem to have been doing based on some quotes from Kyle Kuzma and Alex Caruso. They know it's a possibility. They're mostly just focused on the next game. The play-in game. It's been a hot topic among NBA fans this season. Some people like it, some people don't. Some people were indifferent to it up until it became a reality for them. I'm guilty of that, I'll admit. It seemed like an interesting idea, but there are a couple of issues with this play-in game to consider. Obviously, there's the possibility of losing, and thus the Lakers won't get in the actual playoffs, which would be disastrous. And even though the circumstances of this season provide plenty of excuses, largely it would be an inexcusable failure in a lot of people's eyes. Then there's the fact that the Lakers haven't exactly had good health luck. And having to play another game, or another possibly two games, I'll get to that in a second, before the playoffs just opens up the chances for more injury. The playoffs is when rotations can get a little more solidified, and the bodies can acclimate to new conditions. It would have been nice to have a couple of games at the end to here to rest some guys. So I mentioned the possibility of two games. If you're unfamiliar with the NBA play-in tournament, so it's 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th place teams that play in this tournament. It doesn't have the usual seeding that the regular playoffs have. Seven doesn't play ten. 8 doesn't play 9. It's 9th place versus 10th place. If 9th place wins, they advance. If 10th place loses, they're out. They're done completely. 7th versus 8th place. The winner of the 7th versus 8th place game goes directly to the 7 seed into the playoffs. The loser of the 7-8 match plays the winner of the 9-10 match. So as it stands right now, the Lakers are in that number 7 seed. If by some disaster they lose, then it's not the complete end of the world. If they're in the 7th seed and they lose, they play the winner of 9 and 10, which at this moment is Memphis and San Antonio. So the chances of the Lakers getting into the actual playoffs is good. It's just they're having to deal with this play-in scenario that they didn't want to deal with, that they probably weren't even thinking about a few weeks ago, and it's not a good time. The play-in game does provide a bigger issue that I don't think anybody was really considering. And it affects all fans. You know, right now, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Damian Lillard are all on teams that are in the play-in. And that means one of those three extremely popular players is not going to be in the playoffs. And that's kind of a disaster for the league. If Memphis and San Antonio were to end up in the playoffs as the final two teams, that'd be kind of a disaster for the ratings, of which we're already beginning to fall. The league wanted to make the end of the regular season more competitive, and it has, but at what cost? Is the increase in regular season ratings really worth the potential loss of playoff ratings? It's something to consider. You know, the idea of a winner-go-home, single-game matchup, Golden State versus Lakers, LeBron James versus Steph Curry, that's intriguing. But, I mean, I'd rather see that in the conference finals. I'd rather see that for 5 to 7 games. I don't want to see it for one game in a new thing that the league is trying to try to make themselves different from other leagues. That doesn't seem that fun to me. It's fun for one game, but not as fun as it would be back-to-back. I don't know. Yeah, I'll admit, I was indifferent to the idea of the play-in game because I didn't think it would really affect me as a Lakers fan this season. But now it has, and we're here. And so we've got to talk about these sort of things. But I want to talk about something that has, I think, broken right for the Lakers. Something I think that's going to help morale, help boost the overall team chemistry. And that is, recently the Lakers were finally able to raise the championship banner in front of some fans. They did it versus the Houston Rockets. And I feel like that's the sort of thing that can trigger a winning streak. Wesley Matthews had a really great quote after that game. He didn't watch the championship banner ceremony. And he explained why to Harrison Fagan, former guest on our show. He told Harrison, the Lakers' success in the last 2 close games, which was versus the Rockets versus the Knicks, against the Knicks, Taylor Horton-Tucker had a game-winning shot that was unbelievable. Wesley Matthews told Harrison, it gives the team confidence heading into the postseason. You know, it helps them build the habit of winning. Here's his great quote. He was happy for his teammates that won the title last year. He didn't watch the ceremony because he felt like that was for the guys that won the title. Quote, my hunger burns to raise another banner. And he's a guy who's been in the league for a while. His dad was a Laker. Like, he wants this. And, yeah, I think to see the banner being raised in a way like that is only going to help this team. And, yeah, those are the sort of things where you can look back, like, what happened to this team, what triggered this run. And I think that night, the closer they get to the playoffs, they could see the light at the end of the tunnel. those are the things that that make your teams come alive. And speaking of players who've come alive, pretty frequent topics on this show, Kyle Kuzma and Talen Horton-Tucker. A really great article today that was posted on FoxSports.com talking about how THT and Kyle Kuzma have taken advantage of LeBron and AD's absence. And yeah, talked about it a little bit earlier. Versus the New York Knicks, Talen Horton-Tucker had an amazing game-winning shot. It wasn't a buzzer beater, but it was in the final minute. And to see that sequence play out, it was just amazing. Not an ounce of hesitation when he put up that shot. It was just a really exciting moment for him and his development. Specifically about Talen Horton-Tucker, another article on ESPN has talked about how, you know, he's a restricted free agent this summer. And whether or not the Lakers can keep him, it may not be up to the Lakers. Because he's restricted.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, some teams might offer Talen Horton-Tucker a lot of money, and whether or not the Lakers can match, that remains to be seen. But that's an issue for down the road. Specifically, this passage, Horton-Tucker's assist percentage, which is an estimate of the number of his team's field goals that he assists on while on the court. First 46 games of the season was 17%. Last 17 games of the season has leapt to 29.8%, which means he's a genuine playmaker. And the number of times in the last few weeks that Talen Horton-Tucker has had more than 5 assists, it's been pretty overwhelming. Started with April 10th versus Brooklyn. He had an 11 assist game there. 7 assists versus Boston. 7 assists versus Toronto. And back-to-back 10 assist and 10-point games. So back-to-back double-doubles for Talen Horton-Tucker versus New York and Houston. What makes the game-winning three-point shot versus the Knicks more impressive is the fact that he's not a great three-point shooter yet. He's definitely improving, and he shoots that shot with ultimate confidence. And I think when he shoots in volume, he's kind of better. He's got a 2-for-5 game. Does have a 1-for-6 and an 0-for-3, but he also has a 3-for-5 game, 2-for-2. He's a little hot and cold with the three-point shot, but I think during his better games is when that's more likely to hit, and that could happen a lot more during the playoffs. Kyle Kuzma, lately, our favorite Laker topic, he had a really great quote recently as well. He said after one of these games versus the Knicks or the Rockets, I can't remember which one, but he said, quote, "There's this misconception about me as a person that I don't care about basketball because of how I dress. But if you really watch basketball and see from my rookie year to where I am now, I've really grown as a player," end quote. And that's definitely true. His three-point shot has remained kind of it is what it is. He's still a great scorer, but man, he's become a really great rebounder. He's become a much better decision maker. He's become a true leader on this team. I saw another quote that talked about how he's been here the longest, which is crazy to think about because he's so young. But yeah, Kyle Kuzma might be the most seasoned Laker on this current roster. And yeah, I think he really takes that to heart. But yeah, he's really been playing well. Of the last 7 games, of which he played 6 because he did have an injury, he's averaging 16.8 points per game, shooting 38% from three point, averaging 5 rebounds, getting a steal, getting a couple of assists. He's just kind of doing it all because he has to. And yeah, these two young guys, the future of the Lakers, hopefully, assuming they can keep THT. Yeah, this is where the Lakers' future is going to go. And yeah, these games have been really important because, you know, AD has been back for a few of these games. And with the injury to LeBron James, yeah, we have to face the possibility that, you know, the end of his career is going to come a lot sooner than people might think, unfortunately, as much as I don't want to think about that. And the more they can play with AD being the true leader of this team, it's only going to help them in the long run. And yeah, let's, speaking of LeBron James. So we don't really know what the status of his ankle is so far. According to Frank Vogel, it's a possibility that LeBron will play the final 2 games, but we don't know as of yet. He's tweeted that he's been close. The Lakers have been posting pictures of LeBron in practice. They say it's looking better. I think knowing LeBron, he's never really had an injury like this. I don't think he wants to come back in a scenario. I've said this before. I don't think he wants to come back to a scenario where he has to play limited minutes or he has to kind of work himself back into shape. I don't think he's going to come back until he can come back 100% or as close to it as possible. If you believe his quote about he'll never be 100% again, it may or may not be true given his age, given that type of injury, but I think he'll come back. And I think once the playoffs start, and yeah, once, you know, I think the raising of the banner is a great catalyst to the Lakers playing really well. And I think it's kind of the boost that they needed. So that'll about do it for this show. We'll end in the way I usually end things, with looking at the playoff picture. And so a number of teams have been eliminated, so we won't even talk about them. Like I said, the 10 teams in the West have been solidified. It's just a matter of whether or not what their seeding is going to be. Utah and Phoenix are at number 1 and number 2. Utah 50-20, Phoenix 49-21. Phoenix is a couple of games ahead of the Clippers, and so I don't really see the Clippers making that leap to the number 2 spot. And so Phoenix could fight for the number 1 seed versus Utah. Clippers at 3, like I said, and Denver in 4. Clippers are 47-23. Denver at 46-24. Denver could make a fight for that 3 spot, but I don't really see why they would. They are 5 games ahead of Dallas in the number 5 seed. Dallas still, I think, could fall into the play-in tournament, although it seems less likely for them at 41-29. Portland at 41-30. Our Lakers at 40-30 are the number 7 seed. Golden State at 37-33, so is Memphis, and San Antonio is 33-37. So yeah, New Orleans, Sacramento, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Houston, all eliminated. So San Antonio is probably not going to get up to that 9 spot. Memphis and Golden State could swap places. The Lakers versus Portland, we've talked about that. If the Lakers win out and Portland loses to Denver, then the 6 seed belongs to the Lakers. Over in the East, Philadelphia is the number 1 seed, as they have been most of the season, 47-23. Brooklyn at 46-24. They could make a play for the number 1 seed. Milwaukee at 45-25. Don't see them moving up to the number 1. It's possible they could go to the 2. But there's a 5-game difference between them and number 4, Atlanta. Good for Atlanta, number 4. 40-31. They went on a tear ever since they fired their coach and got a new one. Miami stepped up as I thought they would. In the 5 seed, they've clinched their playoff spot at 39-31. And so have the Knicks, also at 39-31. So what remains to be seen for the East is only 4 teams have been eliminated, which means there's 11 playoff teams at the moment. Bottom of that pile is Chicago at 30-40. They're 2 games behind Washington, and so I think Chicago is going to be eliminated here pretty soon, which makes Washington your 10 seed at 32-38. Indianapolis, Indiana at 9 at 33-37. So is Charlotte at 33-37. And Boston at 35-35. So Boston will more than likely remain. It seems as though the top 6 playoff teams in the East are set. The play-in scenarios, what's not determined, but it seems like Chicago's going to fall out of that, and so your 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds are going to be Boston, Charlotte, Indiana, and Washington. So yeah, that'll do it for this edition of the Hoopball Lakers podcast. Hope you enjoyed my thoughts about the play-in tournament. You know, something to consider, the grand, I guess, penalties of it all, assuming things don't work out the way we'd like them to. And hopefully the Lakers do go on a tear that I hope they will. Yeah, definitely hope things work out. Until next time, I'm your host, JC DeLeon. You can find me on Twitter at JCDeLeon1. You can find Ethan on Twitter at Ethan_Noroff. Follow the show at Hoopball Lakers on Twitter. Follow all the Hoopball shows. Just search Hoopball on Twitter and follow all the accounts that you see. There'll be a bunch of them. And until next time, we're out.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.